Hi everyone, this is Shai, the Non from Raising the Frequency in Israel, and I'm again today with Harald Kautz. Hi Harald, how are you doing?
Good morning, I'm fine.
Excellent, excellent. I think it's the ninth or tenth talk we have now. What you prepared for us today?
I wanted to discuss a little bit the options offered by the big view on world politics and where we might go if we follow. And because I just a couple of days ago, I came to the point of realizing that none of the options offered are a go option. It's like whenever you follow, you get into a world that actually you don't want to see yourself and your children in. So the idea was let's find out what's wrong, you know, if there's no option, something in the basis of it is messed up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so my idea was just find out what actually is the wrong thing in the basis of our thinking, of our perception. First, give a very brief analysis of what develops out there, and then see if we find a fourth option.
All right, let's go for it. So you're going to go through the three first options that you refer to as not good ones,
yes.
Obviously, and then we jump into the fourth one, which hopefully I can also contribute to the fourth option.
Yes, just to say, let me close the window. I've got a truck in front of the door.
I have a specht. Do you know how you call this bird in English? Woodpecker.
Woodpecker.
Yes. So I just, anyway, meanwhile, you close the window and I tell the audience that I have, if you hear some extra sound like, I have a woodpecker just outside my window. I can close the window, but actually it's nice to be connected to sounds of nature. So I prefer to have it. And if you hear it, you should enjoy sounds of nature as well. Yeah, so I leave the window open. Sorry. Yes, go ahead, Al. I'm with you.
Okay, so maybe we can personalize it a bit. Like the major puppet or the puppets mostly displayed to drive an agenda. So we still have those who want to manipulate the world into World War III to kill 95% of the population to enslave the rest. Let's put Bibi there, Benjamin Netanyahu, as the top puppet that is offering this solution. I mean, he's doing what he's doing. He's still again voted to be president. And this is something especially for the Israeli audience to ask the question, why the heck are you maintaining this puppet in power? Because he's a threat to the entire world with what he tries. He's not very successful in these manipulation games, but this is kind of the plan, you know, having this apocalyptic, this fake version of apocalyptic scenarios.
But just to say, I don't see it as such, although I go along with your options now, but I don't see Bibi as a top puppet. He is a puppet.
No. He's presented kind of, especially
right,
from the alternative media, he's put in this position of he's the villain.
Yes, with this I agree. And I think outside of Israel in the media, he's presented as like more than what he actually is. And that the role that he's playing is larger than the role he's actually playing. But it's true to say also for other puppets, other roles being played by other leaders, because we all know that they're just puppets and there's the puppeteers behind the scenes. So I just wanted to clarify that. It's good. We're both on the same page here. Go.
Yep. So this is one. Then we've got a second fraction that is rolling out the World Health Organization with all the medical issues, rolling out 5G, trying to turn us all into biorobots. Let's who can we put there? Maybe Bill Gates and Elon Musk as the main players. And we had enough talks about what they actually do.
Sure.
But becoming a bio robot is under total control system is also not actually what feels like I'm going there.
Absolutely.
Just the extent of this idea you can see in daily life. You know, we always had flies around on the countryside, and we're in a state here in Germany where you can pick the flies from the windows with your fingers. They don't even fly away anymore. This is radiation terror.
Wow.
Yeah, they're completely like under influence of narcotics.
Yeah, like and mind control insects. For flies or, yeah.
No, they just can't stand that type of radiation. They don't get along with it. And insect life is completely dying off. The birds fight for the fruits, so there are no fruits left in the garden because they have got nothing meaty to eat anymore. I haven't seen a mosquito this year.
Wow.
This is kind of what unfolds with that option. And for me, this is not an option.
Sure.
Yeah. And the third one is kind of getting interested. This is, let's put maybe Q or Trump on that front line of mm-hmm. public display. And it's complete drama offers like sit still, you know, stand there, don't move. We are going to save the world, which is driving everybody into complete hypnotized state of doing nothing, except of aligning with that blah, 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 blah. You know, saying it's good. We need to support it. Blah, 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 blah. It's a state of madness that is produced by this, and I mean they do some interesting things like draining the adrenochrome market by raiding the underground facilities, waging war on the reptilians of inner Earth, reconquering sovereignty of the space around the planet Earth. If you go into, again, it's alternative media. It's
exactly.
It's told us. And the only thing I can really see is that the price of adrenochrome is skyrocketing, which is a sign that at least something of this is true. Yeah,
but because I don't see any proof for that. I mean, I hear stories and I get bits of rumors and pictures and, you know, and videos and people are talking about it. But still, there's no concrete proof that this is actually what's happening. So I don't have a way to relate to it besides the fact I know it's based. I mean, the cabal behind the scenes, they are vicious as we know. And they do these things as we already know for many years, but whether Q/Trump are actually doing something in order to support us and not them, I don't know. I cannot relate to it. I do hope that it's true, but yeah.
Maybe they're doing something. I don't want to exclude that option.
Yes.
I mean, the best story I got is that actually it's a conspiracy between Kennedy Jr., Lady Di, who just pretended to be out of the scene to be able to continue to work from the background, and Trump to save the world. Beautiful narrative in a way, you know?
A bit like fairy tales, but yes.
But if I look at Trump just as a person, and I imagine what might he bring even if he wins. I mean, he's mob.
He's what?
He's got his mob. Yeah. He's mob, he's choleric, he's best friends with what's his name? The sex slave trader and Mossad asset briber.
Epstein.
Yeah, he was best friends with Epstein. He even married one of his sex slaves. Yeah. he's got his best lawyer friend, the Cohen, that is silencing everybody he raped. And I don't know actually if I want to get involved in the character of that type. I mean, what can I expect? I mean, he wants to make America great again. So what do we do? Go back to 19th, 18th century unipolar world domination by a continent that doesn't produce anything except of drones and mercenary armies, and
which actually connects back to the first option, which is the apocalyptic or semi-apocalyptic option. You know, if it's again war, we are back in square one. You know, there's no progress.
In a way, yes. It's again, it's not leading to something that feels comfortable to me, or not comfortable, or empowering, or So it's easy to see. None of the three looks like I'm really with them.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that these things, I mean, I am happy about if it's true that the adrenochrome farms are raided and canceled and shut down. This is something, you know, I can't say that I'm not emotional with this, but it develops in a different way.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I see that all this has in common is that it is a world that is hooked on Babylonian magic.
Agreed.
Yeah. And just giving a brief analysis of the flips that are the core mechanisms of this magic. It's religion. It's this idea that source God is external, outside of us, and that we need to obey. While in reality, source is within us. It's a complete flip. It's the energetic system of perception of the spiritual world that is completely flipped from inside out to the opposite, which makes us impossible to access our own truth, to develop our own spirituality. So we are hooked on belief, and whatever they tell us, we are forced to believe and to execute. Yeah. This is just a core mechanism that if you get that as your perception, it's very easy to flip that around again. And discover by putting your self-awareness into your heart that source is there and that you exactly feel what's wrong and what's right.
But can't it be that both are true? Meaning that there is the source in me is connected to an outer source, because, I mean, the way I see it, and it may change in the future. Yeah, I mean, that's also beautiful, I think. But the way I see it, there is a creator which is above, outside, external to its creation. And we are part of its creation. We are maybe at the top of its creation. I don't know, but just to say...
What? It's a matter of perception. I have never ever met somebody who could communicate with source when he focused on the outside. All you can
Fair point.
Do when you are flipped in that way is going into belief and into building concepts of the world, how it is created and whatever. It doesn't mean that everything you can create as a story about this is wrong. But if it's about perception, and perception frees you from control because you can find your own point, you can find your own truth, you find your own connection, you establish your own communication, And then you're completely immune against manipulation. What is done with religions? I mean, religions were built that way to manipulate different religious groups to kill each other. This is the core concept, because they wanted to harvest life force via bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't clean our cultural religious systems from that manipulation unless we flip and feel that this is wrong, that feel that no God would ever demand bloodshed. This is the other side. This is Satan who demands bloodshed. And they infiltrated all religious institutions. Not entirely, but to the point yes. where they can maintain this Babylonian magic system, and where they can make sure that religions are driving bloodshed. Look at Christianity, what they did, especially in the centuries before, you know, destroying the entire third world in the name of God. Look at Islam, what he's doing with this fraction that is waging the holy wars and funnily killing more Muslims with it than yeah. non-Muslims.
It's quite, sorry I laugh, but it's quite funny. I find it funny. I mean, it's like yeah. It's like the Crusaders would kill more Christians. It doesn't make sense in a way.
Yeah, and just to be fair, let's take the Jewish side with this long tradition of having their manipulative fingers in foreign affairs, which is understandable being in Shoah for so long. You know, if you don't have your own government, but you need to keep things in control. Of course, you infiltrate the existing ones to make sure that you can survive. It's a tradition, yeah, but it's very deeply rooted in especially the drama perception
yes.
that is the basis of the Jewish religion, which is victimhood on the front side and being the perpetrator, unfolding from the subconscious, which is taught in every religious celebration we make. Like if you go to Pesach, we celebrate our victimhood, and then we had the entire Egyptian army killed in the Red Sea, and then we slaughtered everybody in Palestine to take back the land. So, you know, it's very strong manifestation of drama triangle interaction that is the psychological basis of this religion. So every religion is different, has its own ways, but what they all have in common, God is outside and not inside. So just to take that point of what's wrong in the very basic structural setup of our thinking and of the perception of the world. The second Babylonian magic that has conquered the entire planet is the monetary system.
Just before that, one point. The way I see it, tell me, you know, I'm just opening it for debate, you know, I'm thinking out loud. The way I see it, the cabal or the powers who would like to control everything, God's creation, if you like, they see nature as God, maybe, or as the goal is to control nature, and they see nature as God, whereas if you like Judaism, or on the other hand, it's not necessarily Judaism, but on the other hand, you have the argument that says, no, nature is not God, nature is not top dog, God is top dog, flipped letters, funny enough, God is top dog. Nature is part of its creation. And those who would like to control nature and all the resources, obviously all humanity, animal kingdom, etc., etc., they would like us to think that nature is God, and they would like us to think that they protect nature from us, obviously. I mean, the Club of Rome and Agenda 21, etc. And on the other hand, again, you have the argument that says, no, God is external to nature, and And he created everything for us to play as a playground, for us to make a choice, to choose. And you know, it's funny because although we don't have to go into it deeply, but just for the sake of argument, the round earth is actually going hand in hand with the Kabbal way of thinking. Whereas the flat earth with the dome and all the other stuff that is there in this way of seeing things is actually goes hand in hand with the fact that, or with the argument that God is external and he created that for us to play in and to make choices so we can advance. So I don't want to confuse myself nor the audience, but something in what you said just caught me, and I'm not sure I agree with you, if it's all right, and I know it's all right, obviously. Because it's not, you see, it's not black or white, although for the sake of argument, we can say it is. Because, yes, the perception of God is in me, and it doesn't matter now if it's an external or not, the perception is in me. And still it serves, it may serve other people's agendas or other organizations' agendas to use this and manipulate me because that's what I think or that's what I believe. So they can play with that. And this is what they've been doing through Babylonian magic and through, you know, brainwashing us with mainstream media and alternative media, etc. So it's not to decide whether you are right, I'm wrong, or you are wrong, I'm right. It's not about that, because it is important to leave options open. But in my way of looking at things, there is a creator which is external and is not in me. I, one of his tentacles, if you like, I play his or hers or its game, and I'm here for a reason. And obviously we all see, I mean, those who are awoken already, we can see that this is the most important time of our life, and we have something, I don't know what, maybe, you don't have to know yet, but we have something to do here and now in these challenging times. And there's a reason why we are here. And we do play our own role as humans, but also the role of God's tentacle, if you like, because we need to make a choice, and by our choices, we change reality. So it's a mix, you know what I mean? I hope you understand what I'm saying, because I see it as a mix, a combination, and in a way, it's a good way to see it as such, because it ticks the boxes of God's is external, but also he's walking through me. You know what I mean? Just wanted to share that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just now focused on, if I want to have a fourth option, apparently I need to do something. And to be able to do something, I need to find a switch first. You know, like if I don't see through the core mechanism of manipulation, all I can create is a copy of the manipulation I experienced. If I find the switch, how it was possible to go into these directions, and I take the switch inside me and just turn it around, then I'm out of this field of danger to reproduce the setup I've been suffering from, because this is what I experience in my own environment. You know, we are in the second attempt of community building. And because all this crap I wanted to reflect on is so internalized that you produce the same structures over and over and over again. Yeah. So if you don't want to have something of that structure, you need to see what is creating structure within yourself. Mm. This is why I'm so focused on where is the thing in me I can change.
Yes, understand.
And this is why the first point is, you know, if you want to be secure in your steps, if you want to reject the wrong thing and create the right thing for the future you want to see, it's very good to have that connection. And I know where it is because I reconnected myself. And this is a presence. It's so strong that I don't even need to look anymore into the world. If I want to know something, I just close my eyes and I connect. And then I get a smile, or I get the feeling of it's complex communication. It's not mental. It's full-scale human-spirit communication. And then I know I need to do something. Like yesterday, suddenly I knew I need to do this interview.
Yeah.
You know, I dropped everything else. I had a huge mess yesterday because I messed up everybody else's plans by deciding, no, I need to do an interview now. But it's just woo, it's there, you know.
I know the feeling. I mean,
I know you have it. This is why I chose you.
Yes. It just needs to be done. That's it. There's no. We don't need to discuss it. We need to do it. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. We wanted to keep it short, so let's go through the points. Second Babylonian magic is money magic.
Mm.
It's something that appears on the outside to offer abundance. If you have money, you can buy everything you want. And while the monetary system is conquering more and more and more aspects of life, all it's creating is scarcity. It's a flip again.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same type of magic. And whatever is based on a monetary system will create more and more and more scarcity. And it will make us destroy more of nature. And it will make us destroy each other, because the scarcity is within, but it's not seen. Because you always have this addiction to it. Just let me earn some money and then everything is going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know? It's fear-based. And there's also a switch you can turn around. You can just allow yourself to develop an appropriate feeling to the system. You know, if you spend money, this is what happened to me in the first time when I started to realize what this is, that spending money on something was not focusing on the thing I get, but the truth about what I was doing was expressed inside me with a disgust that I'm forced to enslave somebody.
Hmm.
You know, I'm forced to enslave the lady at the cashier in the supermarket to sit there all day doing the most stupid thing I've ever seen, like for 8-hour shifts every day. You know, what am I doing to this lady? Being her counterpart. At least I can give her a smile or make a joke or something to bring something into that poor life. But it's my responsibility at that point. So for me, it's obvious what I can do at that point is feel the energetics of this magic, decide that this is not my option, and then demonetize your own life as far as possible. I mean, it's
funny you say it, because, you know, we had this talk some months back about money issues and making a living, and I said I would like to open a homeless place. You remember we had this talk, and
so we had one on abundance.
Yes. And I was like, yeah, I want to have this attitude, you know. I was like envying, because I want to let go of all this hustle and worrying in my head regarding money. And what happened recently, money is less of an issue. Not because I have more of it, because priorities have changed in the last few months. And suddenly it's not money, it's not shopping, because as I said in a couple of broadcasts, that now the guy who lives in a building and he has maybe a million euros in his bank account, and the other guy next door, he has maybe minus million euros in his bank account, suddenly both of them, you know, maybe he has a Porsche and he has an old Beetle in his driving lot, all right? But suddenly both are quarantined, both are equal, and money is not an issue. But what has become an issue is whether you have food, whether you have water, whether you keep your sanity and your moral ground. And now what I'm about to say, I just use it as an example, is that I noticed, yes, I put plants and I grow some food and put some seeds, and this is more important than having money to go and buy stuff. Anyway, the shops are closed, and if they are open, you have to wear a fucking mask, and you know, I'm not going to buy to your rules and regulations, etc. So it's not that we don't need money, but it's less of an issue. It's not a focus. And it's quite interesting shift I see there within myself, but not just within myself. I see it also among others. So just to shed some light on this point, because it's interesting how the priorities have changed, and we, at least from my perspective, it's more about moral ground, it's more about principles, it's more about what's right, and not how much money you have, and if I can make the next month, and if I have, you know, etc., etc. So, yeah, I just wanted to point this out, because it's interesting. I see it in perspective, in retrospective, regarding the last few months and our previous talk. Yes.
Yeah. I mean the talking in examples, my garden is quite nice this year. I just planted one square with lettuce and they grow big. I did something different, or energetics are different, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, we have drought, so normally lettuce shouldn't grow at all, but it goes, and it's 5 times more than I expected to harvest.
Maybe
so. Every time I go into the garden, my only thought is, whom can I give lettuce as a present?
Yes, exactly.
To not have them all shooting up before somebody had his joy with them, you know? And say, this is the attitude.
Yes, exactly. You know, I have 4 chicken. One of them is young, and its mom just had 3 little, how do you call them? Small chicken, chicks. Yeah. So now I have 3 more chicks, and I'm very happy, because if they're all will be laying eggs, it means I can give my neighbors eggs. That was my thought, you know, and this is so good, man. Just to be in this frequency of, yeah, I have more, I can share. Amazing. This is what makes us so great, I think, you know. Anyway.
And this is abundance. It's exactly the opposite. And it develops once the energetics of the monetary system are exposed and people stop
know,
fear holding, grabbing their stuff, not letting go of what is in abundance. You will always have scarcity around.
Yeah.
Who wants to go into this deeper? We had that talk about abundance. It's basically all said in there. And it's kind of the second leg the madness stands on. Yeah. And it's interesting now, because apparently we go into a phase of hyperinflation soon. So we'll be able to experience more of this in a forced way, what scarcity means. Like, then you see how the abundance in your hands turns into a bunch of colored papers that is worth nothing. And this is the truth about the monetary system. It's all worth nothing, you know. Anyways, third one is hierarchy. We are all like the rabbit staring at the snake, unable to move, positioning ourselves in hierarchies, hoping that the tip of it will be good willing. But the quality that gives people the ability to position themselves at the top of the pyramid of hierarchies is being a good perpetrator. Because this is in all steps, you know, your boss is your perpetrator, your employee is your victim.
Yeah.
So the better the perpetrator is developed, the more he is able to climb the ladder and come to the top. So how do you expect a hierarchy to bring somebody to the top who is
compassionate,
compassionate, loving? It's impossible. It's not, yeah. The system is not built for that.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, just to tease the Israelis a little bit, unless you have somebody that is born into a family, is not interested in power at all, you know, just actually wants to become an eye doctor to treat people with eye problems and disease, and then his older brother is killed in a stupid car accident and he's forced to become president, which he hates, but he knows if he doesn't do it, it's going to create havoc all around in his country. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Our beloved enemy, Assad. He's the best one I see at the moment because he doesn't like it. He never wanted to go there. He's not a hierarchy type. He inherited a hierarchy and slowly tried to dissolve it in a way that does not free that devil that is basically stored in the hierarchic system. You know, if you come from a family that suppressed all sorts of minorities in an ugly way, and then you stop suppressing, then all this hatred fires back. And he did quite an interesting job in dissolving that power structure bit by bit without letting revolution start.
Who is it?
Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian.
Assad, president. Yes, the son. Yes, agreed. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and he did actually a marvelous job in unwinding the power structure his family built. Because he's not the type for power. I mean, he goes shopping with his wife with zero security in Damascus.
Yeah.
What president of this world so settled in his goodness that he's not even scared to go into the public on the street without security? It's amazing. He's doing an amazing job. I mean, he's got limited possibilities, but just from that analysis of power structure, he's the only one I see at the moment that is not a child of hierarchy. And just this quality brings him into the position to stand alone against that fraction that wants to unleash World War III. If you look into the planning for that war, it was crucial to destroy Afghanistan, to destroy Libya, to destroy Syria, to be able to attack Iran. And now this storyline just got blocked.
For some time now. I mean, it's been going on for some time now.
Years.
Yes.
Yeah, and the entire military logistics of that plan, they don't work because Assad stands.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. Yeah. but that's, again, you know, no, I got tempted to look into the outside reality. The question is, what is our relationship to hierarchy? Do we go into passivity, into passive behavior, because we stare at somebody that offers himself to stand at the top of a hierarchy? We've got that discussion in Germany with reviving the Third Reich, which is not a right-wing thing. I mean, the people are a bit of the type of old-fashioned emotional blocked German entities which might be associated with right wing behavior, but democracy is fucking us to the bone, you know, mm-hmm. with all that bullshit they develop. And people think, you know, if we just could revive our own culture and get a legal structure established that is actually according to international law, returning to a non-occupied state to regain full sovereignty, mm-hmm. then our rulers will be good. And I know all those guys who run this movement. And if I just imagine to be ruled by them.
Exactly.
Just laugh it out of your soul, because it's not an option. Hierarchy is not an option. Whenever you just put your hope into anything of that quality, you can just feel how future drama interaction is seeping into your system and getting to the starting point to mess your life.
Yeah.
And what is the opposite of hierarchy? It's self-responsibility.
Also anarchy. I mean, the proper definition of anarchy. Anarchy is not a mess.
Yes. Yeah, the proper one.
Yeah.
The proper one.
I mean the proper definition of anarchy. Yeah. We have no ruler.
And now, let's look at the magic behind it, because this is something that is quite striking if you look at it on that way. We do have. Let's first take the term law. Yeah, it has a double meaning.
I just want to say, Harald, I just want to say you, but mostly to the viewers. Now I understand that maybe not tomorrow, maybe on Friday, we're going to have another talk because it's a must, because we need to speak about the Babylonian, we need to speak about law and Talmudic law. And what has been going on here for centuries now. So anyway, but you go on. I realize we need to do another.
We can
talk.
Do that.
Yeah, go on. So you were saying about law.
The term law has two meanings. You have the descriptive law that observes, finds structures, describes the structures. And because it's repetitive, you can predict what happens.
Yes.
It's every law of nature is descriptive. And then you have this enforcement law that tells people what to do. And these are two completely different things. They don't have to do anything with each other. But what the Babylonian magic did, it's a kind of black magic trick that is the attempt to free yourself from the karmic law, from the law of resonance, attraction, to put yourself in an artificial space of security that allows you to perpetrate. This is what they did.
I agree.
And this is, in a way, it's... if I do have a feeling of trust towards Source, towards God, it's that I can 100% rely on the law of resonance and on the karmic laws. If something bad happens to me, I just need to look at myself. How did I create that experience for me? What did I do? What did I think? What did I feel to get that resonance from reality, mirroring my own self? And these laws unfold with such a loving humor, with
coincidences, for example,
in the cosmic law that always creates the thing that causes the least possible suffering to get the optimal learning effect.
Nice,
this
nice
is
definition.
The love of source I do experience in my life.
Yes.
So there's zero punishment in it. It's just a structure that allows us to reflect ourselves, to be able to grow, heal, prosper. And I 100% trust that karmic law. And if I sometimes I'm tempted, like I bought a mobile home from 63, the first Mercedes mobile home.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing, you know, old truck, 6.3 tons of beauty. And I gave it to a workshop to fix it, to make it ready for the road again. And they stored it in an industrial complex. And the industrial complex was sold, and they had problems with non-existing agreements on the rent for him putting these cars. So they seized the cars. And my truck is gone.
Yeah.
My mobile home is gone. And whatever I did, I can't access it, you know?
Yeah.
Either I break into it and steal it. I tried everything, talking to the owners, talking to the company, being in charge of organizing everything around that property, and zero cooperation, no option. And it's tempting to take a lawyer and tell him go the legal way.
Yeah.
But yeah. At that point, I'm displace myself from the story. There is something behind that story that I need to learn. And I'm sure the day, I know that the thing is still there, it's still in that building. And the day I crack that nut and find out what this story tries to reflect back on me,
sure.
Then I know that this is going to be dissolved, and life is going to return that car back to me with a beautiful, funny gesture. So no, I'm not going to the lawyers. I'm not trying to trust that legal system that is enforcing things against the karmic law.
Yeah.
It's not an option. And this is all part of the hierarchy system. Yeah, because it's replacing the natural thing with an artificial thing. And the difference between the two is that the natural is always supporting. And the other one is just manifesting supporting disbalances.
You know, in the last few weeks, with few people that I spoke with, some online, some in physical form, you know, not virtually, I took this example of a cup of coffee, and there's grains of coffee in it, and I took one grain, let's say I'm taking one grain, and basically this cup of coffee is God's creation. Everything is inside, and the karmic law is inside, natural law is inside, and the freedom of choice is inside. The laws of creation are here in this cup of coffee. Now, what the globalists or the cabal or the adrenochrome addicted guys, whatever, what they try to do really, since many, many years, is to take one grain of coffee and to convince us that this is reality. So they try to create a substitute reality to this one. Now, they get better and better in that, obviously, because of technology, because of, you know, a lot of things. But what is important for us to see, the way I see it now, is that this grain of coffee is still inside God's creation. So it has to abide to laws of creation. which means they still have to give us a choice. Now, obviously, this is a choice in the substitute reality. So, for example, God is giving us the choices, the true and real and full-scale choices. But what this Kabbal is trying to do is telling us, listen, you either vaccinate yourself or your children, or you don't have food, so you have to choose. But this is not real choice. This is choice from an hierarchy, you know? This comes from control freak who would like to give his victim choices, you know? And really, I'm trying to remind people, this is reality, not this little grain that they try to lock us in this substitute reality. So break it. It's false. It's fake. It's illusionary. And come back to source, which is God's creation, and to full scale, choosing your life, choosing your heart, choosing your mind, where you want to put your attention on. And what you're saying now is really, it goes hand in hand with this example. This is why I remember it, because it's important to see that this substitute reality, it gives us false security. And here, there's no security. We are all going to die. None of us is secured from that. But hey, at least you enjoy the way, because it's your way. It's not someone else's way who is trying to shove his way down your throat. And that's as if he's letting you choose, yes? As if you have a choice. And this is what's happening now. I mean, it's been happening for many years, but obviously it's been accelerating in recent months, as we all know. Yeah, just wanted to add that. And I wanted to ask, let's jump, if you don't mind, into the fourth option. What is the fourth option?
Turning all the three switches off or around, putting things upside down again. Upside up and downside down. within ourselves. And I mean, this is what I've been doing in the last years, bit by bit, step by step. And the experience I gathered while doing this, also with a growing, or with several attempts of growing communities, is that it's not at all depending on what we do. It's actually all depending on whether people focus on their self-perception and on self-responsibility, in the sense of everything I experience is mirroring what I am and what I am on the subconscious level. Like if you have somebody that is in eternal conflict with everybody, victimized from morning till evening, if he insists on complaining about the world, he's just playing out his victimhood. If he realizes, okay, there is this victim inside of me, and there's also the perpetrator on the opposite side of that coin that is not conscious to him, but that is projecting this perpetrator energy all the time. You know what? The victim always thinks he's something better than the perpetrator. And this is what is making the conditions so addictive. You know, the more beats you get in, the more attention you get in a certain way, and the more you can feel yourself as the one who is the better soul, which is just arrogance. And the energy of this arrogance, the energy of the suppressed anger of the victim, it's in the field, you know? It's in the field, and it is feeding the anger of the perpetrator. So if you really want to dissolve these things, you need to basically internalize everything, let the awareness of how things work inside yourself grow to the point where the entire subconsciousness is dissolved and opened to be conscious again, and take responsibility about the negative side of all these coins that we experience in ourselves. It's like I had this, I don't know if it works in this context, but if you have an author that is writing a novel about the man slapping the woman, you know, this story of the man slapping the woman is in the mind of the author. It's one thing. It's one thing. It's a story that has a sort of unified quality of drama interaction. It is something the author is looking at. If you go into the story and try to get the perception of the lady that has her face slapped and the guy who is slapping her face, you get a completely different perception of things. The figure in the novel is just angry and slaps, and the lady is victimized and she's in pain, which is a valid perception of these two characters in the novel. So we actually behave like characters in that novel. But there is the option. If you train your self-perception on the energetic level to move to the author's side, to be aware of the full scale of the story on the energetic level, where you get the shadow, where you can get hold of the shadow of the story within you. And it's really like with victims, if they don't get hold of their own anger and keep moaning about their victimhood all day, it's going to continue.
Yeah.
And this is like look at the power of this, especially with the Israeli people. You are in this victim consciousness all day. The entire world is trying to crush the little country, and you're going to pull the Samson option if somebody should just touch your little finger. You know, and who of you is aware of the anger that you put into the field? Yeah, this is not on the front side of consciousness. You know, who is aware of the millions of Arabs? Let me talk as a still kind of Israeli, because I'm not out of this. You know, when I was 14, I used to daydream, and I killed 400 Arabs every day in my daydreams. And so I'm not standing out of this. But who is aware of the millions of Arabs, Israelis killed in history? Who is aware of the displacement and the conditions in the refugee camps of the people we displayed? No, they're all terrorists. Let's go back to fear. Let's go back to victimhood. Yeah, to basically fully focus on the victim side of perception, to push the perpetrator side back into the subconscious, to not have to look at the story from the author's perspective. But if you don't want to go on in these victim-perpetrator game, because you realize, you know, having a Shoah every now and then and being put extinct every now and then going on to the opposite side. I mean, whom did we not kill? You know, how many times did we completely kill all the Palestinians, you know, down to the children, women, and animals, you know, because God said it. It's all waving with the three switches we talked about earlier. You know, it goes together because the root is one Babylonian magic that has a purpose. You know, so of course it works together in a nice way. But I mean, we can talk about perpetratordom that is not even mentioned much in history books. Let's go to Stalin's time, you know, the Jews in Russia being kept in their little quarters, being killed every now and then, a couple of thousand of them, because the people in the environments decided to be anti-Semitic. And then suddenly you have a change in the system, and there's this option to join the Secret Service. Yeah, Ukraine was the worst country regarding anti-Semitism. They had nights were in cities with a population of 60,000, 10,000 Jews were killed in one night. So there was this deep hatred, yeah, and this victim-perpetrator setup that had a certain quality at that time. So they could join the Secret Service under Stalin, which was, as far as I know from numbers, 60% Jews in that Secret Service. And what that organization did was telling all the farmers in Ukraine that they're not allowed to grow food anymore. And they starved 11 million people to death. I mean, this is close to double of what is in the books about Holocaust. And nobody even talks about it, except of the Ukrainians. They are still in this trauma. If you get in contact with people from Ukraine, this trauma is... whoever is able to be in compassion, you know, just feel into me what this did to these people. Mothers were eating their children.
Oh, enough. No need examples.
Yeah. It's and if I compare it to the Jewish trauma, it's much more real. Because it's completely, it never morphed into this thing, there's no biz like Shoah biz, you know? It never morphed, it's still in the core of the souls. And this is something, you know, if you look at this, if you look at these flip sides of coins, you end up in laughter. You know, when this heals, it's just like, my God, what a ridiculous story did we live here? And this is what creation is about, to completely discover, dissolve, transcend the aspects of life that can only unfold in blindness. And it's about transcending those, turning them into music, turning them into awareness, just crisscrossing them with love to see how beautifully things dissolve.
It's true it's true for many nations or people, wherever people were, all along history. Suffering was there, and people were using almost everything they could to survive in whatever terms, conditions were there. And saying that, and listening to what you say about the Israel or the Israelites' conditioning over history, I just want to differentiate between those who, I would say, run the show, or the perpetrators, and the, it's not true to say victims and perpetrators here, but those who run the show, and those who are not aware that there is a show even, and they just follow the streams of life, and they think this is life, or this is what life always have been, and what life should be. And those who run the show, well, A, they are few, B, their time is limit, C, their power, energy is limit, because they are being fed on the rest of us, in many levels. unfortunately, it's also physical, but it's just an aspect of feeding on us, you know? And once we understand that this is what's happening, we can actually stop it. We can actually come out of this catch 22. You know, if it's either we are the victims, or we need a victim to feel worthy enough not to be a victim, and etc. And as I said, I think it was yesterday in an interview I've done with Mark Devlin, that even in Israel, let's say, there's 18 families who run Israel. Look at the world. There's a few thousands of people who are connected with blood connection, family ties, what have you. And these families, whether they run for centuries or thousands of years, doesn't matter now, because it's the few who found a way, maybe by the Babylonian magic, who runs many years now in this, on this planet, they found a way to control the many. So we need to... I'm saying this to you, but also to the viewers, and maybe mostly to myself, because I also run these shows on YouTube, and I bring guests which sometimes challenge me and sometimes contradict what I think, feel, know that life is or reality is, which is good, because I'm open to all views and all opinions, and I'm ready to listen to them. Even if I don't accept all of them, I consider them as a possible truth, just for the sake of being open to them, you know? Because obviously I've been conditioned through my life to believe certain truths. I've been conditioned, as well as many Israelis here, as well as many Jews before the establishment of Israel. They were led to believe certain things which to be true. Now, saying all that, I think the seed that we all have is good in nature. In its essence, I think it's good. I feel in me that it's good. That's why I did a broadcast a couple of days ago about, in English and Hebrew, because I felt it's so important to put it out. So I did a parallel broadcast. Because we are so good in our essence, which may contradict some other views, yes, doesn't matter, most people cannot comprehend the extent of evil, because we are compassionate and they are psychopaths, because we don't care about adrenochrome, we can't even fathom the or comprehend or accept or conceive the possibility of harming someone else like these psychopaths do. And why I'm saying that, because we need to accept, A, we don't know everything, B, we have to forgive those who don't believe what we say about the nature of, or the hidden nature of reality, C, we are talking about certain families, groups, people, think tank clubs, you know, and stuff like that, who try more and more to run their agendas on the masses of people for the future generations, not just the present. And knowing all that, again, I would like to differentiate, especially here in Israel, because I am considered as an Israeli, Jewish, Hebrew, and I've been doing a lot of things to share with my fellow friends and countrymen and brothers and sisters here in Israel, in Hebrew, in recent weeks, to share what I know about what is happening. So I would like to emphasize this point. Most people of Israel, like most people of Germany, like most people of Arab neighboring countries, like most people of the world, for me at least, this is my opinion, as far as I see it and know it, they are good in heart. They just want to live their life and being left alone. I just want to sit under the vine and eat some grapes and chill out. Only few groups or a small number of people would like to control everyone and everything. So we need to remember that even when we speak about the Jews or Israel, I have to differentiate, because I don't see myself as the bastards who would like to control. I don't want to control anyone, you know? And most people that I know, they don't want to control anyone. And I believe it to be true for any nation, not just Israel. After traveling a few other places, obviously, around the world, met some people, not just in Israel. I know it to be very true. I know it to be very true. It doesn't matter which country I go to. The human nature is more or less the same. And yes, if you piss someone up, yes, he will get angry and he would like to protect himself, obviously, like any animal. And still, when we speak about world politics and world hierarchy, domination, Babylonian magic, it's the few who would like to take over the many and the resources of the planet and the life of humans, as well as children, obviously, in that, and to control and minimize our ability to reach full potential. So in that sense, I just want to clarify, and as I said before, maybe mostly for myself, to clarify where I am in this talk, and not just this one, obviously.
Let me put it this way. The difference is, you say you take responsibility for your deeds, for what you do, for what you consciously think, and I agree. Close to all the people I know have a goodwill on that level. The fourth option, actually, is to take responsibility for our creation. And we explicitly create a reality that is mirroring our internal hierarchy, not hierarchy, our internal structural setup. Yeah. If I am not willing to accept the dark sides of my cones, I create an picture, a reflection of those dark sides of my cones as hidden reality. But reality. The adrenochrome farms are a creative expression of the subconscious. Humans created because they refused to look at darkness. Because they decided actively, let's rather focus on the fact that I'm a nice guy. But the energetic body, the emotional body, is always complete. The question is, at what part of the energetic body does the day consciousness look consciously? And when something appears that is not exactly what I would like to have other people think about me, you know, and I push that away again into the subconscious, it's going to be manifested as reality in an ugly way. And this is the basic principle. If the fourth way, if maybe we can summarize that, is to regain sovereignty, responsibility on our creational powers.
On our creation? Which mean
on our creational powers. Accepting that the reality is entirely our creation, including adrenochrome farms, by not looking there in ourselves. If we take that responsibility back with a decision to transcend all the things within us, and this is also from the practical side, we're going through that process right now, even in the family with the closest friends, of transcending our own content, our own stories, our own traumatas, and suddenly everything that looked like a smooth, normal life turns out to be Stalingrad.
Yes.
You know, because all these hidden drama interaction, they contain emotional bits and pieces that suddenly become feelable for the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, like this who is better than whom thing. If you wake up to the full scale of being a human, every tiny little thought that is negative is painful. So we are in a practice of regaining the ability to sense all this. And whenever something comes into the field of being conscious, we have a couple of days of drama, because suddenly it turns out, oh, I've been hurting her for 6 years. Yeah? And it's always hidden behind this good intention. And this is like an example recent camera. family business with switched responsibilities, you know, where two sons felt the necessity to take responsibility for their mother, instead of the healthy way, having it the other way around, that the parents are carrying responsibility for the children. It's just a story that developed to give them experiences they wanted to experience. There's nothing bad about the entire setup. But I was in the position to assist, help, reflect, to put everything upside up again in their relationships. And one of the attempts failed because the son pitied his mother. Just as an example for this good intention thing, how it is camouflaging the ugly side of things. Because, you know, when you pity your mother, you know, she can't stand on her own feet. I need to take care of her. So I need to step back into old patterns and can't let healing happen. You know, this is actually what he did. Look at the dark side of that gesture. When it comes, it's completely like, it feels like love. It feels like protection. But go to the dark side and look at that arrogance. Look at the gesture, how this gesture is victimizing the mother from the rescue role. Look at that energy. If you tune into that energy, suddenly it becomes feelable, tangible, that this signature, emotional signature, is everywhere in the system. Yeah, when mom is victimized enough on that level. She takes exactly that signature of arrogance and puts the thumb on her children in an ugly way, just returning that energy. Nobody knows why she's freaking out because, you know, she's the crazy one. She's the one that loses her mind and screams around and needs to be protected from herself. And then this goes in a circle. But as long as you identify with that loving being, you know, the one with a good intention, it's going to continue and continue and continue, and the unfelt is running in circles, causing havoc. You know, identifying with the full scale of emotions gives you the sovereignty to transcend things, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
They don't disappear when you don't look at them. They grow when you don't look at them, because this is one of the core rules of this creation. You know, it's designed to resolve things, so if you push something out of your sight, it will triple and come back to you, which, to become visible.
Which we can see it also with the how the adrenochrome harvesting and, you know, kidnapping, abusing children has become an industry. It's not one pedophile here, one pedophile there. It's an industry because we didn't want to look at it for long time, and it's there for long time. But we, and it's what I said before, people cannot conceive it even that it's possible. It's not about good intentions. It's about, you know, there's the psychopaths are just a fraction of the population. I mean the naturally occurring psychopaths, not the trained ones, as we all know that is being done as well. It's part of the system in order to expand more its power. But the naturally occurring psychopaths are just a small fraction of the population. And most of us cannot, you know, if I take, sorry for the example, but if someone comes to me and kills a cat in front of my eyes, I will have a reaction. And I would like it to be stopped. I would like him to stop. I will do something probably in order to stop him. Whether a psychopath may not have a reaction and even, you know, he doesn't care. Let's just say, yes, I put it in this black and white for now. And we cannot conceive even, we cannot accept the extent of evil and how it's being done. So we push it aside, and we pushed it so much, so long, we pushed it aside and it became an industry. And now it's blowing in our faces. It's coming back to us big time, like a boomerang. Now, we didn't want to deal with it a couple of years ago, 20 years ago, 200 years ago, or what have you. So now it's big. And now you have to deal with it, and it's much more difficult to deal with it and to solve it and to stop it. But this is, we as humanity, you may say, we have to deal with it. Because it reflects on everything. Everything that is happening now is interlinked, is connected. The COVID, the 5G, the adrenochrome, the farms, it's all connected. So this is how evil works through our life, because we didn't want to see that it's there. And you know, I know, you know, I know about these things for something like 10 or 11 years. Whenever I wanted to speak about these things, people didn't want to hear. So I didn't speak about it because I was an outsider speaking about conspiracies, you know. But this was even within the framework of conspiracies or conspiracy theories, let's say, this was forbidden. This was taboo to speak about these things. You better speak about 9/11 and the skull and bones. This is all right. But to speak about real stuff that is going on under, you know, under the surface, many people did not want to hear about it. And I carry this knowledge and information in me for many, many years. And I already told myself 10 years ago or so that I have to protect children because I know what is being done and I have to protect it. Now, even not saying it, not putting posts out about it, still I knew and I acted upon it in my own world and in a more clever way, in a more hidden way, you know, to protect children, to give the families good vibe, to making a healing music festivals. Knowing everything I know, I did these sort of things. And I did put out some information about these sort of subjects. But now, obviously, so many people are aware, much more than, you know, a few months ago, that this is what's happening behind the scenes. And the mass awakening that we see, I hope it will bear fruits. I don't know what will be. I hope we realize that this is probably the most important thing we ever done, is to confront these demons, which are also in us, which we pushed aside for so long because we didn't want to confront it. But we have to. We don't have a choice. And this is maybe also the fourth way or the fourth option.
Let me relate to you said this now came to awareness and we need to deal with it. Maybe we can take that example and look at the options of how dealing with it, that we can see the difference in quality and see where the fourth option starts. We can acknowledge the facts, and whenever the topic comes to be talked about, we can complain about those perpetrators. How could they do that? You know, this is, at least we're spreading the news. Yeah, this is one option. But what it does internally is it's pushing my ego, because I was good, they were bad. And if I judge them for what they did, all I do is feeling myself as a better person. And it doesn't change a thing. On the core topic, it doesn't change a thing. So this is more an expression of disgust. What I do is I add some disgust to this world. Energetically, it's poor. It's evil. In a way, it's evil because I judge people for what they did. So what, you know? Second option is to go into active anger, not disgust, but active anger, and say, I join this military forces to kill them all. So I storm the adrenochrome farm and I shoot all those people. Mm-hmm. What I do is actually I unleash the killer in me. Mm-hmm. I do exactly what they did. Bloodshed, killing. While feeling not on the victim side, as we had the story before, mm-hmm. but on the rescuer's side. Yeah. Being the rescuer gives me the admission to be a perpetrator. Well, how funny. Drama interaction. We had a talk about that as well, as far as I remember. Whoever likes can go into that. Next option is... to victimize those children. You know, I can say, oh, let's build facilities where we can put these children for them to have medical care, psychological care. Those poor creatures, how much did they suffer? You know, I can go into that sick type of compassion that is... basically identifying with their victimhood to be able to feel something. It's also a mode that, and it just doubles the suffering. Mm-hmm. And these kids don't even get the chance to face their own karmic issues, because suddenly all the pressure is stolen from them, all the experience is stolen from them. My first impulse when those stories came that actually the kids were freed was I just thought about my possibilities, and the number that came was 4, and I said I would like to take 4 of those children to my place. If this offer comes to the public domain that they look for families to take care of those children. And the idea behind that thought was, well, this is the reality also the collective subconsciousness created, so I'm part of that collective. And I just said, okay, if this is what comes to me, I need to take responsibility for a share of that collectively created ugliness. And the impulse was giving those kids an environment where they could heal.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? We're getting there in steps. It's still me rescuing them.
Sure.
It's still drama interaction. It's still hiding something, in a way.
And still, Harald, it comes... You see, your urge, I would say... You know, not even urge, but your leaning towards hosting 4 of these children and allowing them to heal in a more relaxed environment, no pressure, no psychologists, no, you know, just this. Where is it coming from? In you, where is it coming from?
Guilt.
Guilt for what? Have been done to these children because we haven't done anything to stop it.
No, for what I did in former lifetimes. I have incarnations where I was the black magician.
But hang on. So it's only if it's guilt and it's because of your actions in former lifetimes, it's still coming from ego.
Yes. What happened next was... knowing about my own pre-incarnational histories, I could spot that guilt feeling that still was somehow there. And then I switched that around and said, actually, if those children should come to my place, it is for my own healing. Because being with them while helping them to work on their trauma would be what would give me the full picture of my soul landscape. Like reintegrating the part that I externalized by living the perpetrator. And I was basically... at the point where I wanted to, and this is not egoistic, I just wanted to transcend things in a way that I use that opportunity to completely heal while giving them healing as well. And that kind of felt right, you know, that was like, okay, this is, we're getting there.
Yes. It's another step in the right direction.
And then something funny happened. You know, I have these regular communications with Gaia. Gaia is like source accessible in the heart chakra. And when I came to this insight, why I could do that, why I could take... 4 of those children to my place. She said, you already looked at your darkness.
Hmm.
And these children are not for you. There is something else that matches you. And a week later, suddenly, we had a family of Corona refugees ending up in front of our door. No, they gave me a call asking if I have a place for them where they can stay. If I know something, I knew something, I gave them the hint. Of, you know, you can ask this and that guy on the countryside, he's got an empty flat, maybe you can just rent it and then you have a home again. They were living in a community and the community was closed by the police overnight because according to corona laws, the community activities were not legal anymore. So but they were just out of their house and home, had to leave everything there and were in a little car with a few belongings and didn't know where to sleep. So they asked me, I brought them to our village, you know, asked the family that is in charge of managing all the empty buildings here and get something. And it failed.
Right.
For some reason. So they didn't know where to go next. So they ended up in front of my farm, asking, you know, any other options right now. So we just, you know, we made a little space in our environment and gave them a couple of rooms to live in, and they're going to stay. Yeah. And there are two kids in the family. And those kids brought me joy.
Mm.
And it's funny because it was the answer on this idea to get some adrenochrome children. This is how it works, you know. If I would have had those adrenochrome children, it would have been okay for them, good for them.
Yeah. But it wasn't a win-win. It would not
but
be,
and I would have taken them away from those people who really have the necessity to learn their lesson. You know, it would have even been some sort of egoistic act from me to insist on, no, I want to become the one that is suffering from his own bad guilt awareness, you know, like doing something. It's not necessary at that point. This is what life showed me. And this is where you can get, you know, when we do this inner work of flipping the coins and looking at the dark sides of it to transcend our drama interaction, then life unfolds in a different way. When I used to go to Berlin, it was just torture for many times. With the need to look at all these sick people. This is why I left the city, you know, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to look at myself. Mm-hmm. Now I go to Berlin and I just see shining, smiling, beautiful, awake and souls on the streets, you know, corona crisis. I meet with my son in a park and the park is full of people and so full of people that the policemen even can't bother starting to tease any one of them.
Sure.
And I see somebody who is drunk with dirty torn clothes sitting on a wooden box pretending he's doing some drumming, although he has zero feeling for music, but he's completely lost in his own world.
Yeah.
Of I'm a musician earning money. You know, sheer madness. Suddenly I see somebody like this, and you know, don't pity him. Don't judge him. Don't anything. Just go to myself and ask myself, in what aspect of my being am I caught in my own my own cognitive prison?
Mm.
Yeah. So I just use that as a reflection back to me. There's something left in me that is encapsulated, that is not in straightforward interaction between free spirits. And I could use that little encounter to find that structure in me. And to dissolve it. So this is how it works for me. And slowly, slowly, we seem even to get that community issue through. Because till now, it was always, you know, the poison of the world because the patterns were underreflected, destroying every attempt to build something in the sense of a fourth option from inside out. But over the time now, working on all the topics then that come up, it looks like suddenly things become possible. Suddenly, fourth option is unfolding just out of itself, out of the daily life. Because we don't create the bullshit anymore.
There's a phrase in Hebrew, which you may know. It says, Bimhera beyamenu. Bimhera is as quick as possible. Beyamenu, it's in our time. So I reconfirm what you just said with Bimhera beyamenu. So I wish it will happen as soon as possible, as quick as possible, now, in our lifetime, because that's what we need in order to have a future, because we are at that stage that we need to really heal, look at the things which we didn't want to look at for a long time, and to let them surface and let them be out here and heal them. Yes, and I want to thank you for this talk. You know, I just tell the viewers, we say between us that, yeah, okay, let's keep it 1 hour or, you know, within this frame. But we never do, which is quite funny. Yeah, thank you for this talk. Let's try and make another one on Friday about Babylonian magic. Let's go there and explore this area for a bit. But, you know, with a smiling face, with a loving heart, not with a Babylonian vibe. What do you think? Would that be
alright? We can do that. I'm not an expert on that. I just see it from the reflection I get from the nowadays structures.
Yes, it's
whenever
here.
You look at it, it somehow roots back to this time and place. So
I agree.
Maybe then we can go, if you have an insight into what happened back then, back there.
I have a bit. I have just recently was learning a few things about that. Will be nice to explore it together. No need to be expert, just to, again, just to put it out. Like, many things are coming out these days on the surface. And it's good to bring these things as well, because most people don't know them. So just to flush them out of the system will be good. Just to put them in broad daylight, let's say. Excellent. Harald Kautz, thank you very much. I'm sure many people would love this talk because they're expecting another talk. So I got some comments. What about Harald? Why don't you bring Harald again? So here we are. Thanks a lot, man. Okay. Take care. God bless. I'll catch you very soon. Cheers, bye. Mate. Bye-bye.